Welcome back to the Ed Morrissey Show podcast. Joining us as always, the Prince of Twitter, the Regent of RedState.com, Andrew Malcolm at AH Malcolm on the Twitterses, and of course, RedState.com. You go to the VIP section where Andrew always has something very interesting to say, and occasionally even outside the VIP paywall. Andrew, welcome back.
Now, thank you. Good to be here. I want to point out one thing, Ed, before we get going here. You just committed a microaggression, and you do it every week. You say, welcome back. And that makes those people who are new to the podcast feel very put down.
Makes them feel. Well, folks, all you got to do to get over that is keep watching us. Every single week, we're always
here. So welcome to the Ed Morrissey podcast.
Welcome to the Ed Morrissey Show podcast.
Starring
Andrew Malcolm. Produced by Andrew Malcolm. Apparently directed by Andrew Malcolm. Edited by Andrew Malcolm.
Edited. Yeah. Okay.
So you're apparently the regent of more just redstate.com. So
no, that's right. That's right. The head man at Hot Air. Yeah.
There you go. Hot air.
He's the hot air at Hot Air.
The hot air at Hot Air. He is the hot air beneath the wings of Hot Air.
Oh, you're on today, Morrissey.
I don't know why I'm tired. We can't really talk about what we were doing, but Andrew and I, along with a few other folks that we know, got a chance to spend a few days together and chatting and stuff like that. And Andrew, it was really cool to see you. I mean, I know we're not, you know, all this stuff is off the record and I can't talk about what it was or where we were at. It wasn't anything sinister, but it was really cool to see you because I haven't seen you in person, you know, seeing you every week on this thing. But I haven't seen you in person in a few years.
Yeah, exactly right. And you're still bald. I wouldn't have known you if you had a toupon.
Can you imagine me in a toupee?
No.
That logo behind me right there, you know, that logo. That's sort of the brand now, I think.
I don't think you want to change. It's very recognizable and kindly.
You know, so, I mean, all of this is just fun stuff that we're starting off with. But I have to tell you that a funny story about that is that my granddaughter, my younger granddaughter, who's, you know, still in high school, sent me over it might have been the older granddaughter, but either one, it was one of my granddaughters who said, hey, I found a picture of grandpa floating around on Facebook. And it was a picture from my senior prom. And I had a full head of hair, right? And a white tuxedo with a very beautiful date. I had a very beautiful date for my senior prom. She was a lovely girl back then. She remains a very lovely woman today. And she is not Mrs. Morrissey, although I think her mother kind of wanted her to be.
Well, that's a good position to be in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But
that's also probably what killed it.
Probably. We were friend-zoned. We friend-zoned each other basically about a month or two after the prom. And it worked out very well for both of us, I think. But
that's great.
But her mother was very funny. She had three girls and a son. And her mother was from Guyana. And she used to say, oh, I'm saving a daughter for you. I'm saving a daughter for you, Ed. Well, thanks. Thank you.
Thank you. I didn't realize I was needy, but okay.
I know, that was okay. Actually, I was fine with that. But, you know, they all made wiser decisions than that. They were a little wiser. The daughters were a little wiser than their mother. But, yeah, it was fun. And it was a great family. And I mean, it's just kind of funny to see a picture of yourself.
Yeah.
44 years ago.
Oh my gosh, really?
44 years ago. And and the person you got it from is your granddaughter. And I didn't even know this picture existed. It wasn't until after I saw it that I remembered even to take it. It was taken by my date's mother. And I don't think I ever got a copy of it, to my mother's chagrin. And I don't think we took pictures. The dance that year. So literally the only thing I could remember is just what I could remember. And then I saw the picture. It's like, wow.
Oh, you should post that.
I did. I put it up on Twitter on a Throwback Thursday.
Oh, and I missed that.
Yeah. You know, I had somebody said wood paneling and a pen and a pendant clock. Yeah, that's probably 1970s. You're close, 1980. But yeah, it was the style back then. Although it is my brand now, it was not always thus. There did used to be hair on the top too.
Either way, if you had hair, then you couldn't be in the Waldorf and Statler duo.
That's true. That's true. We would not be able to do what we do, Andrew. So.
I know. It's actually inspirational.
Well, I guess that's one word for it. So, as we're recording this, it's on Monday afternoon, and I was actually under the path of the totality of the eclipse. Did you get a chance to see? I mean, did you get a?
No.
No.
I'm underwhelmed by that. My wife has been watching it, but we had clouds, and I guess it opened up and we could see. We're 300 miles from the path, from the total pass.
Ah, gotcha.
And
okay. So you got a
partial. We got a partial. And I didn't find it scary at all.
I didn't find it scary, but I did find it interesting. You know, it does get pretty dark.
Yeah.
And actually, I wasn't sure about that. I thought they may be exaggerating. It actually does get pretty dark. It's they're not kidding about that. And I actually was able to use my cell phone to take a few shots of it, and they turned out pretty good. Actually.
Oh, good. Are you going to post them?
I did. They're up on Twitter this afternoon. So if you get them, and I'll put them up in the.
Hot air on your page
on mine, on my Twitter feed, and then they'll be in it'll be in a headline entry. Today actually might already be up as we're talking. It was interesting. I don't know that I was in awe of it, just simply because I know what it is and, you know, it's pretty predictable, but I found it interesting. I got the glasses. Let me see if I can find them. Hang on. You want to see how you're supposed to look at this thing?
Yeah.
There you go.
There we go. So you're looking at a Captain America car, 3D comic book.
Basically, yes. Now, these are designed for the eclipse. So right now, I can't see a damn thing. I have no idea if I'm even correctly on camera right now because
I'm. You are, Ed, and I have to say you look better than usual.
I wouldn't doubt. I look cooler. I definitely look cooler than usual. Oh, there you go.
Did you know that the rays of sun that you couldn't see were take 8 minutes and 20 seconds to get here, traveling at the speed of light?
Yep. Yep. So literally, you're looking at where the sun was.
That's right. That's right. I love that stuff. It's like 19 hours now to get a message to Voyager 1 at the speed of light. I mean, it's like 16 billion miles.
That came up today too, right? I mean, because they had an issue with Voyager 1, and now they know how to fix it. But it's going to take 45 hours to figure out whether or not they actually did fix it.
Yeah, that's right. Back and forth. It's amazing. I love Voyager 1, or as we call it, V'ger. The idea that when you look at the Andromeda Galaxy, which is the first clump of stars you can see, you realize that that's the way it looked 4 years ago. I mean, it's just, wow. You know, that stuff, and the Hubble telescope and the Webb telescope is just... It's just amazing. I don't know what O.J. Simpson would say. What was that movie? Was it Capricorn 1 or something? I love that. I love that.
One where they faked the moon landing? Was that
Capricorn? Yes, exactly. And then they were trying to hunt them down. That actor that he was everywhere for a while. He was Rambo's senior officer. Richard, was it Richard? Anyway, I found that one particularly creepy. And OJ climbs up the cliff trying to escape, and he gets up to the top, and a pair of feet step it right in front of his face. Oh, jeez.
You know, I always hated Capricorn One, not because it was a bad movie, but because there were people who seriously thought that the whole thing was staged. And my father worked in the space program, and it pissed me off. And then Mythbusters. I don't know if you ever saw the Mythbusters thing on that,
no,
right?
No, no.
Yeah, Mythbusters, they actually did an episode on was the moon landings faked? Or were the moon landings faked? And they came to the appropriate conclusion. I mean, which is they weren't, which is that they weren't. And that it would have been impossible to do what people claim that they were doing anyway, because there's just too many, people were up in space. I mean, you know, the rockets were going up, et cetera, and all that. And, yeah. But also they left equipment on the moon that you can still see if you have.
That's true.
Good enough telescopes, you can still see the equipment they left on the moon, including, and this was really interesting, they didn't lead with this. They only mentioned this last because it's basically the definitive proof anyway. I think it was Apollo 15 left something on the surface of the moon that is used to get an incredibly accurate measurement of the distance from the Earth to the moon. It's some sort of something you hit with the light and it bounces back, and you can measure the distance down to a very precise number. And they did that as a science experiment. And the only way that that would be on the moon is to have somebody actually get out of a spacecraft and put it there. Yeah. It's a little ways away from the landing site. And so they saved that to last, but then they said, yeah. And by the way, come on. I mean, everybody knows this stuff. I mean, so yeah, I probably should go back and watch Capricorn One again, because I'm sure it was a good thriller. But just the subject matter ticked me off so much, I just couldn't enjoy it.
Trying to remember the commander of that mission. He's a very famous actor.
Was it Charlton Heston, was it? In
Capricorn? No, it was, well, you can
yeah, Google. I'm looking it up right now, but
I think it was Richard. Richard Kenna? No, Richard.
Oh, no, I think it was Elliot Gould is who you're thinking of.
No, he wasn't.
Oh, well, he's the guy who's the lead actor in that. James Brolin.
That must have been a remake, because that's not the one I saw.
This is Capricorn One from 1977 with O.J. Simpson. It's got O.J. Simpson in it. Hal Holbrook. Sam Waterston. Let's see who else.
James Elliot Sink. Gould. Oh, geez, that's jarring.
Well, I don't know. Elliot Gould was the commander, or was the astronaut. But my guess is that it was probably Elliot Gould, James Brolin, and Sam Waterston, because they were younger actors at the time. So it makes sense that they would have been cast as the
OJ was one of them.
Oh, that's true. OJ would have been one of them. Yeah, well, maybe there were four, but yeah, he's in there. And
I'm going to find out.
I think you need to get to the bottom of this. You need to get to the bottom of this.
That is, and Ed and I'm going to pursue this unless I get censored by Google.
And you might very well get censored by
Google. That's true. And that will be, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
There you go. Well, you've got a couple of other stories that you got to talk about here today.
That's true.
Red State VIP's category. You had one very successful audio thing with a pretty substantial written component to this. How you know Joe Biden's secret handlers have turned desperate?
You can see by the tricks they're pulling, and what they have him talking about. I found it very revealing.
Well, Andrew, I can't see anything of the like. I don't see it.
I don't see it. About. Your post makes no sense whatsoever.
It's all a blur to me, Andrew. I can't see your point. Well, there we go.
On the other hand, the brilliance of my writing will not hurt your retina.
This is true. You know, every time I bring up one of your columns, I really do have to do this because it's so
good. That's true. It is just so good. And if you don't read it, it's even better.
Well, tell us why you think that they're getting that desperate, that the situation is desperate for them.
Well, what they're talking about is just so pedestrian. They're not talking about issues that are relevant to the voters. They're trying to distract. And I mean, it's just so obvious. I can't believe that only a suspicious journalist would spot this stuff. But
you work for office holders and campaigns too. So I mean, you've got a lot of experience, and you understand how this stuff works.
And the ones I work for were not particularly tricky, but you don't have to be tricky to desire to distract from bad news. I didn't have much bad news, but I guess right near the end of the first Bush campaign in 2000, I got a phone call, and it was Carl Cameron, from Fox News, and the opposition had been holding back a shocking story that wouldn't allow time to respond about George W. Bush getting a DUI during his alcohol days, which were long before. But I heard later from high people in the campaign that was the one regret, that they didn't get that out. They could have neutered that early on, yep, because there was a lot of talk about George W.'s alcohol habit. This is way back. And he admitted to it, which is part of the change. And I guess he was out of control one night at a resort and completely went cold turkey. And the plane didn't have the chartered planes for the campaign. They didn't have regular beer. They had O'Doul's. Yeah, they had that, which is fine with me because I am an admitted addict to Diet Coke. So,
everybody knows that. Yeah.
Yeah, but. And so the Gore campaign did it, or their allies did it, revealed it just before the end. I think it was like the Wednesday before the election or the Thursday, so that there wouldn't be much time for damage control. And as it turned out, it was very significant because, Ed, and I know you know this, if he lost Maine, and which is where the DUI was, and if he had won Maine, there would be no chatter. He would have won the election outright. But because it was so close, because he didn't win Maine, it was hairy for a month. So my wife, when we got married, she was in the newspaper business too, and she scheduled the wedding for late November, figuring I would always be home from whatever the event was. Except 2000, when the thing went on into December, and I wasn't home.
Into January, really. That one kind of edged into January, or maybe it was just the last week of December when the Supreme Court finally.
Yeah, I think it was December, but it's The memories are getting foggier, like Capricorn 1. I gotta look that up. I mean, that that can't be right.
I don't anyway, know what you're
doing, man. Anyway, so you can see by, oftentimes in politics, you can see by what they're not doing that you realize what their weak spots are. And you'll notice, well, I think, didn't Biden have another slip today on the airplane steps? And
oh, I didn't see that. I hadn't seen that. No,
I think he did. Even on the short steps. Right. Blame the eclipse. It was so dark he could hardly see.
He was wearing these eclipse glasses.
And of course, you know, it's hard to hide all of the negatives that Joe Biden doesn't want to talk about.
Well, yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It's hard to hide it because it's all right out there. I mean, I didn't know about the slip today, but it's all right out there. And that slip is after they fitted him with those special shoes. You've seen those shoes, right?
Yeah. And you saw him even when he falls down, that's when you get a shot at the bottom of his shoes.
I mean, it's frustrating that the media isn't responding better to this. You have another column up. We really should talk about that a little bit. By the way, go over to redstate.com and how you know Joe Biden's secret handlers have turned desperate. He also has a new one that went up yesterday called How a President Communicates Reveals Much. Yesterday, we're recording this on Monday. And that is kind of a headline that doesn't say a lot.
I know, it's the dumbest headline ever.
Yeah, you have to read the column to know what you're
doing. There are mechanical, technical issues that explain that, but it's not worth. What I did was I went through and I looked at all of the major screw-ups and even some of the minor ones that Joe Biden has been directly responsible for. And when you look at that, it's not a list. I actually describe each one. When you look at them, you come away and go, that has to be intentional. And then you look at, geez, what that means. You have a president intentionally who took an oath to protect the United States, intentionally screwing things up. It's the pattern is just so overwhelming of the things the inaction on the southern border. First, negating Trump's policy, which wasn't perfect, but it had controlled the situation of stay in Mexico.
That's right. Just
and wiping that out, wiping out energy independence. What responsible president would say this is a bad thing that we don't need to buy oil from the Mideast? I mean, so he wiped that out, allegedly because electric cars.
Well, because of climate change, right? And carbon emissions and so on and so on.
Yeah, it's just terrible. So what they do is he also killed the Keystone XL pipeline, which would have transported 800,000 barrels of oil every day from Canada, 2,000 miles from Canada to Houston safely without emissions. Forcing the oil to be transported by diesel trains, which can sometimes derail, and diesel trucks. I mean, it's just nobody. You don't have to be an oil expert to realize, no. And then he ignored the Pentagon advice on the Afghan exit, which you and I agree was maybe the worst thing, although the Afghan exit is over. Except for thousands he left behind who are now being hunted down by the Taliban.
Right.
But we're going to be paying for 10 million illegal immigrants and ongoing, 3,000-4,000 a day on average. And we're going to be paying for that for a couple of generations with the education, law enforcement, social welfare, housing. I mean, it's just, you say, why would somebody, and Biden had ignored Pentagon advice, which knows a little bit about evacuations. And he ignored it, countered it, suddenly pulled out without leaving any troops. Then they had to send them back. Pentagon knew it was going to be a disaster. So they had stocked up, lined up 8,000 troops to go back in because they knew they were going to have to do that.
That's right.
And then in the middle of that evacuation, there's a homicide bombing, killed 13 American troops and nearly 2,000 Afghans. And so Biden pulls the plug, leaving thousands of Afghan allies who were promised safe transit to the U.S. for their 20-year-long cooperation. Now and they left behind the biometric personnel files of every one of them without destroying them. It's just, and then
despicable.
Since then,
despicable.
Yeah, despicable. And then since then, Biden has given over $1 billion to the Taliban, and he won't tell the inspector general what it was for.
Yeah.
I expect there might be some
basic ransoms for exfiltrations of Americans that were left behind, because the state told Congress in October of 2021 that their estimate was that there were 14,000 Americans left behind.
14,000 plus nearly 50,000 Afghan allies.
Right, exactly. Who, yeah.
These are the people, these allies, these are interpreters. These are people that warned the American and allied troops that this doesn't smell right. There's some problem here. These are the Afghans who found some of the IEDs that were killing Americans.
Yep.
It's just because they think like Afghans. So they said, wait a minute, that's not really a dead dog on the road. Hold up. And sure enough, there's a bomb inside. We owe them everything, and Taliban is still tracking them down. According to General McKenzie, who was in charge at CENTCOM, thousands have been executed and tortured.
Yeah, it goes beyond that too, because Biden has been trying to get Israel to pull out of Gaza, right? Which they've temporarily removed some units from Gaza, although they're announcing that Rafah, the it's game on in Rafah on a date certain, that they've already picked the date for it. But Joe Biden has gone on and on and on about a bungled strike that killed 7 aid workers, which is a bad thing. And the IDF has done an investigation. They have basically cashiered 2 officers that were in charge of the targeting of that mission. And there's going to be court martials. For not following the rules. Now, nobody's talking about the family of 10 that got killed by Americans in Kabul shortly after we pulled out, because they thought they had found an ISIS-K, ISIS Kandahar cell in Kabul. And this was right after we had pulled out, and Biden was saying, oh, we still have capability. We can do counter terrorism from remotely. We don't need to have Americans in Afghanistan to do it. And this mission was supposed to show that. And instead of killing the ISIS-K cell or even a Taliban cell, they killed a father and several children who was just basically bringing a meal back home to his house because they screwed up. And nobody got disciplined over that. And nobody got fired over that. And nobody suggested, least of all Biden, that they were going to quit doing stuff like that because they had made it a mistake. And the reason why is because mistakes happen in war. You try to avoid them. And when they happen, you hold people accountable. But Biden didn't even do that much. The Israelis are much better at this than Biden gives them credit for. And it's beyond hypocritical what Biden is doing to Israel by demonizing them over being less careless than the American military under Biden's command. I mean, it's really frustrating to see this.
Yep, absolutely. And Biden continues to call the exit, the botched evacuation, we could call all of that still an extraordinary success, which it wasn't.
Remember what Robert Gates said, is that Joe Biden's been wrong about everything for the last 40 years. Now, Gates limited that to foreign policy.
Yeah.
But I would suggest that basically you can remove the qualifier. Joe Biden's been wrong about everything for the last 50 years.
Yeah.
Still wrong.
Yeah. And the last three Democrat presidents were not veterans. Up until then, just about everyone was, even Jimmy Carter. So they had some knowledge of the military. Joe Biden does not. He had no service. And he was the only member of Obama's inner circle to vote against going after Osama bin Laden. And so far as we know, Hunter Biden was not lobbying for Osama bin Laden. He has an innate distrust of the military, which is one reason why he ignored their advice that, look, we can get out, but you need to leave some to control an evacuation. And Biden said, nope, everybody has to be out. So the Pentagon got everybody out, and then they were preparing to send a bunch back in because they knew it would happen. And sure enough, they had to go back in and did the best they could, as I think our military almost always does. So,
yep.
Anyway, there's a long list of other things, including the border and his family's foreign ties. How about the Chinese spy balloon? We can't stop it from its intelligence gathering mission that lasts a week until it's done, so it can radio everything back to Beijing on the satellites. So because they couldn't do it over land because it would wreck the package and then we wouldn't know what they were looking for. So they did it over the ocean and it got wrecked. Anyway, so it's just, you look at all of them, there's many more. You look at them and you go, nobody is that stupid. Biden is stupid, but he's so consistently stupid. At some point you'd think he did a good thing. And no.
Nope. Well, go over to redstate.com, read Andrew's columns over there. Both of the columns, the one column is how a president communicates reveals much. How a headline communicates reveals little in this case. But Just kidding. Also, how you know Joe Biden's secret handlers have turned desperate. Now, that headline is a grabber. And so check that was from last Wednesday. I know Andrew doesn't have a joke of the day. I only have a very brief one because we're still kind of recovering from travel. We're tired, man. We're tired. Stetler and Waldorf are not meant to go on the road. That's all I'm telling you.
That's all right. And even a young whippersnapper like Morrissey.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I certainly feel that. All right. Here you go. Very brief from jokesoftheday.net. Wife says, I'm pregnant. The dad says, hi, pregnant. I'm dad. And the wife says, no. No, you're not. there you go.
I did see a cartoon, Ed, and it was a beauty pageant. And the announcer in his tuxedo was asking, presumably Miss America, what is the capital of Texas? And she said, the letter T.
Well, that's true.
I know. It wasn't wrong. We're going to have to go to the video on this one to check it out.
All right. I got one more for you. One more for you because I just got to throw this one in here. So there's a Catholic elementary school and all the children are lined up at the cafeteria for lunch. At the beginning of the table was a large pile of apples. And one of the nuns put a note on it, said, take only one. God is watching. So then you get down towards the end of the line. There's a large pile of chocolate chip cookies. And one of the students had written, take all you want. God's watching the apples.
That's a good one. I like that.
There you go. That's on that note, we're going to head out for the week. But Andrew Malcolm, the prince of Twitter, the regent of redstate.com. Thanks so much. And we'll talk again next week.
You bet. Take care.